In the middle of the daf, and we began the sugya of the sofik in the Gemara regarding avir hamizbeach and avir hakevesh, whether the status of the avir is the same, identical as the mizbeach itself. And we're up to maskif la rova, which you'll see tifshot right after the word kashivat tifshot, lo kashivat tifshot. Is maskif lo Rava bar Rav Chanan, and he wants to know what's the suffix all about over here, whether Avir Mizbeach is Kim Mizbeach or not. I Amrit, if you're going to tell me that Avir Mizbeach Kim Mizbeach, Domi, you're going to have a problem with the case of Ola Sa'of. Ola Sa'of requires Malika, and the Malika is done Bi Avir Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach. And nevertheless, we know that there's a situation in which there's a psul of machshavas pigul. If he has a machshav of chutz l'zmano, the posul machshava, and heichim ish kachasla, how would we ever have a possibility of a psul of pigul through machshavas pigul of chutz l'zmano when the kohen has the wrong machshav at the time malika, and he has in mind to be machtir the Ola tomorrow, Hakolta Mizbeach. The very moment that he does the Malika, because the Malika is done in the Avir on the Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach, if we assume that Avir Mizbeach Kim Mizbeach, then by definition there's no psul here because we have the halacha of Im Olo Yeredu, the Mizbeach would now be Makadesh the Ola, and he could be makdir tomorrow. So this machshava is not a machshava chutz l'zmano because there's no psul, and he could be makdir the korban tomorrow based on the halacha of him olu lo yeredu. So since we know that there's a halacha of machshavas pigul in the case of Ola Sa'of, then we must assume that Avir Mizbeach ain't okay Mizbeach, and therefore at the time of the Malika, even though the Kohen is doing the Malika, the Ola Sa'of, Bi Avir HaMizbeach, nevertheless the Mizbeach is not kolet. It's considered as if the Ola is on the karka. And therefore, if at the time of the Malika, he has a Machshava Lachtir L'mochar, Chutz L'zmano as a Machshava Spigul, that's going to pass the Karma. So the Gemara rejects Rava. Maskifla Rav Simi Bar Ashi, Alma lo, why do you assume that if Avir Mizbeach is Kim Mizbeach, it's impossible to have a Hechetimtza, any sort of scenario in which he would passel the Ola with a Machshavas Pigul? Mishkachasle, you could have such a scenario. Kegon Diomar, let's say the Kohen would declare, this is another raya to those Shitas of Rashi and Tosus, that Machshavas Machshava Posos requires Amira. So the Kohen declares at the time of his Malika, Reni Molka Almanas Lahorida Lamachar. He specifically declares that he's going to take the Ola tomorrow after he removes it from the Mizbeach. Now, at that point, tomorrow there's a Psul of Lina. And now La Losa Ulaktira, he now has in mind that he's going to bring the Ola back onto the Mizbeach and he's going to be makdir it. So then, in such a case, if he would, let's say he would do exactly what he planned to do, what he declared that he would do, and tomorrow he would take the Ola off the Mizbeach and then bring it back on the Mizbeach, he's not allowed to do so. Why? Because we have halacha of Im Yaradu Shuv Lo Yalu, that although the Mizbeach is Makadesh, that's as long as the Psulim were not removed, were not taken down from the Mizbeach. But once it's taken down from the Mizbeach, we don't bring it back on. And therefore his Machshava at the time of Malika, at the moment of Malika, to take this Ola off the Mizbeach tomorrow, bring it back on, that would be possibly din pigul. Again, all this, even if we assume that Avir Mizbeach is Kim Mizbeach, so there could be, even within the context of Avir, Mizbeach ki Mizbeach, a possibility, a scenario in which there would be a psul of Malika in the case of Chatas Ha'of. Now, in order to explain what exactly is the shakulataria here between Rava and Rav Ashi, Rav Simi Bar Ashi, we quote here one of the chidushim of Rav Michal Feinstein. He says here that according to Rava, who was the makshin here, we never found a scenario in which Ola Sa'of would be possible Machsheves Pigul. According to Rav Simi Bar Ashi, we found a case where he had a Machsheva to take it off the Mizbeach and then put it on the Mizbeach. Rav is of the opinion that even if he would take it tomorrow down from the Mizbeach, take this Ola off, and it would become also to bring it back on because in Ola Lo Yeradu, nevertheless, the Machsheva is not a Machsheva Poselis at the time of Malika, because as is right now, that the oath, the ola is on the Mizbeach, and he has in mind to be machter in chutzus manu, that's not a machshava poselis, because he could in fact be machter of it tomorrow. Whereas Rav Simi is saying that since within his machshava he has in mind to take it down and then put it up, which he's not allowed to do, then he's excluded the possibility, according to his mindset, of doing the Akhtar Lamachar, therefore it's a Machshava Poselis. So basically the fundamental Machlokas is to what extent do we enter into all the details of his Machshava. Rava says that even as a Machshava to be Machter tomorrow, it is theoretically possible for him to be Machter tomorrow. But Rav Simi Barashi says, well, let's look at his Machshava in the very specific details that he had in mind. And then it would be impossible for him to be makter at Lamocha because he took it off the Mizbeach. Now the Gemara has a kasha on Rav Sivi Barash's kasha. Ha-nicha l'rava. In other words, the underlying premise of Rav Sivi's kasha is the sheet of Rava, D'yomar lina mo'eles v'rosh ha-mizbeach. And that was back on Pezayin of an Aleph, that lina apostles even a varim which are on top of the Rosh Hashel Mizbeach, and therefore if he'll take down the Ola Sa'o from the Mizbeach, then once it's possible in Lina, he's not going to be able to bring it back on top of the Mizbeach. Ella, but if we go Rabba, Diomar Ein Lina Moeles, B'Rosh HaMizbeach, there's no psul of Lina on Eivarim that are found, that are located on the Rosh HaMizbeach, is Lesel HaMachshavto, his Machshava is not a Machshava Poselis in Ola Sa'o. Because even if he would implement what his original plan was, and he would take the Ola off the Mizbeach tomorrow, he's allowed to bring it back onto the Mizbeach because there was no psul lina insofar as Ein Lina Moelis B'Rosh HaMizbeach. So we're back to the kasha that we originally asked. Namely, that if Avir Mizbeach is Kimizbeach, in what Hechetimsa, in what scenario could we have a Machsheves Pigul in Ola Sa'of? So the Gemara answers, L'Rabba Nami Mishkachas, even according to Rabba, who holds that Ein Lina Moelis B'Rosh HaMizbeach, we could still find a Hechad Timtza where there would be a Machshava HaPoseles, a Machshavas Pigul in Ola Sa'ov, Kigon the Omar, if the coin declares, Harini Molka, I'm going to do the Malika on this Ola, Al Manasla Horida Kodem Amud HaShachar, I'm going to take it before Amud HaShachar, so it's going to be off the Mizbeach during the course of the night, and then he has in mind lahalosa liacha amud hashach to put it back on the mizbeach. Here, even Rava would agree that if he would implement his machshava, the ola would be psula, because lina would apply. Since in his plan, the ola will be off the mizbeach before amud hashachar, because the halacha of ein lina poseles b'rosh hamizbeach only applies if at the moment of amud hashachar the carbon posel is on the Mizbeach, it's on the Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach, but here, that at the moment of daybreak of Amud HaShachar, there's no Ola on the Mizbeach, then, since it's on the Karka, there'll be a Psul of Lina, and he's not allowed to bring it back onto the Mizbeach, the Kevan Sheyardu Shuv Lo Yalu. So if he had this Machshava B'Shas Malika, that would be a Machshava's Pigal HaPoselis HaKarbon. And now the Gemara concludes Rav Simi Bar Ashi, and his kasha against Rava Bar Bar Hanan, not only that we cannot come to any decision here that Avraham Mizbech Eino Kimizbech, Ela Adravan Pumfaket, the opposite is true. Lahachki Samiyatib. So we should come to a conclusion that Avraham Mizbech Kimizbech Domi. And why is that? Isal Kedaitok Sha Avraham Mizbech Lav Kimizbech Domi. On that position, and now we're turning to Peches Omen Aleph, is Chatas Ha'of Psula Hechi Maza Midoma. Let's take the case now of Chatas Ha'of. We've been talking about Olas Ha'of. In the case of a Chatas Ha'of, which would be possible if the Malika, let's say, was, for example, Shalom Lishma, so how could this Malika, if it was Barosh HaMizbeach, and again, even in the case of Chatas Ha'of, with the Asiyas Lamata Michut HaSikri, nevertheless, the Gemara back on Samach Gimel Amid Beis established that the Malika can be done anywhere in the Azor, even Barosh HaMizbeach. The Azor Sadam of the Chatas Ha'of has to be done Lamata Michut HaSikri. And if he does the Mitzui above the Chut HaSikri, it's Psula. But now we're talking about a case where he did the Malika, the Chatas Ha'of Barosh HaMizbeach, and that he's allowed to do, and the Chatas is Kshera. So in such a case, the din of Kol HaPsulim Sha'ol HaMizbeach Lo Yeredu would apply. He's allowed to do the Hazor Sadam on the Mizbeach. Is then Hechi Maza Midoma. How is he allowed to do the Hazor's Dam on the Mizbeach, Misha, at the very moment that he lifted the Chatas into the Avir Mizbeach in order to do the Hazor's Damam, Havile Yorud? At that moment, if you assume that Avir Mizbeach, Lav Kim Mizbeach Dami, it's as if he took the Chatas off the Mizbeach, and Aloch is with regard to Psum She Yorudu Shuv Lo Yalu. And furthermore, Shar Psulim Hechi Zorek Le Midoma, let's say in the case of Behema that had a Psul in the Dam, and the Dam was taken onto the Mizbeach, now we're going to say that Im Olu Lo Yeredu, he should do the Zrik on the Mizbeach. Now if you assume that Aver Mizbeach, Enoch Mizbeach, then how is he allowed to be Zorek the Dam? The Zrikas Adam is Mirochok, is from a certain distance to the Mizbeach, and the very moment he picks up the Kli with the Dam inside of it, he's already in the Aver HaMizbeach. And now you're telling me that Aver HaMizbeach Lav HaMizbeach Dami, then it's like it's Yored Me'al HaMizbeach, and then he should not be able to bring it back onto the Mizbeach. So again, we're always assuming that if there was a Psul in the Dam, and the Dam Posel was brought onto the Mizbeach, we're going to apply the Din, the principle of Imolu Lo Yeredu. Why is that so? The very moment that he does a Zrika Mirachok, it's already a Hagbos HaKli, lifted the Kli with the Dam and the Kli onto the Avraham Mizbeach, and therefore it's already a situation of Yardu, it's off the Mizbeach, because Avraham Mizbeach, Lo Avik Mizbeach. And the conclusion of all these logical arguments is that Avraham Mizbeach is Kim Mizbeach. And therefore, even at the time that he lifts the Chatas Ha'of, or the Dam HaBehema onto the Avraham Mizbeach, it's still considered as if it's on the Mizbeach, and therefore we don't apply the principle of Yardu, but rather we're going to apply the principle of Kevan Sha'olu Shuv Lo Yardu. And the Gemara rejects this. Why? There's no proof here that Avraham Mizbeach Kim Mizbeach, because it's possible that we're talking about the following Hechatimtza, the Magalahu. In other words, he takes the Chatas Ha'of at the time of Hazor Sadam, and he connects it straight with a contact with the Mizbeach itself. Or in the case of Dam Behema, he's got the Dam inside a Kli at the time of Zrika, and the Kli itself is Bemaga, it's in contact with the Mizbeach, and therefore it's considered that it's on the Mizbeach itself, it's not in the Avir. And again, the assumption here is that the principle of Kevan Sha'olu Shuv Lo Yeredu with regard to Psulim applies even if it was connected to the Tzidei HaMizbeach, the sides of the Mizbeach. It doesn't have to be Munach, it doesn't have to be resting and placed exactly on top of the Mizbeach, but as long as there's a Maga. So the Gemara asks the following Kasha, Ha Hazahi. In this case, when he takes the chatas off on the mizbeach and he connects it, he touches it up to the mizbeach, the side of the mizbeach, that's considered hazah sadam. And that hazah is not meant to be except mirachok. But how can you claim that if Avir Mizbech Einikum Mizbech, he's allowed to do the Hazah? He's allowed to be Zorik the Dam. This is not called Hazah. In the case where he places the Chatas Hof against the side of the Mizbech directly, are you telling me that that's called Hazah Sadam? Hazah Sadam requires a Richuk. It's got to be at a distance. And in this case, where he's matzmid, in the Hebrew, he says matzmid et ha'ola, et ha'oha, et ha'of l'mizbeach. That's not called hazah, that's called mitzui. That's called a meleches mitzui. Mitzui is when you smack it up to the side of the mizbeach, and you sort of drain it by holding the bird against the wall of the mizbeach, and you could ask the same kasha with regard to Dam Behema, Zrikas Dam Behema. If he drains it by pushing it against the side of the Mizbech, Hazrika, is that considered a Melech Hazrika? The Gemara asks in a rhetorical question. That's not Hazrika, that's me. There's no such thing as Zrika unless it's me Rachok at a distance. And in this case, when he's doing a zrika with a kli, the utensil that's holding on to the dam is tsomud, is completely connected to the kirim mizbech, that's shvichahi. That's not called zrika. That's called pouring. And vo, the Gemara says, I'll ask you another kasha. Even if you could say that this is not mitzui, or shvich mikomakom chiderech hazah b'kach, even if you'll claim that this is a hazah in the case of chatas ha'of, when he puts it samach l'mizbeach against the mizbeach, but derech zrika b'kach, is that the normal way that you do zrika? We do hazah and we zorik the dam mirachok, and what we require is a normal manner of throwing the dam. The kohen has to therefore lift the dam off the mizbeach in order to do a zrika and do it properly, then for sure the avra mizbeach or the mizbeach would have to be considered like the mizbeach itself. Avir kim mizbeach domi. Now here let's just re-examine for a moment some of the premises that we've been operating with. The Gemara is talking about a case of Malika of Chatasov al Rosh Hashem Mizbeach, and as we said before, it was done Shalo Lishma, that would pasul the Chatos, and the Mishnah says at the beginning of Zevachim that with regard to a Chatos, Shalo Lishma pasuls the Karbon, but nevertheless, we still have a principle called him Olo Yeredu. Now, if he does a Hazah, and the Kohen has to lift up the Oaf, and he's got to sort of swing it around in such a way that the dam goes onto the kira mizbeach, then if we would have assumed, the Gemara argued, that aver mizbeach lavka mizbeach dummy, then at that split second the coin lifted up the oaf, it was removed from the mizbeach, and therefore he's not permitted to get it back on the mizbeach. How could he ever do the hazah unless you assume that aver mizbeach kim mizbeach dummy? And therefore the oaf is considered as if it's on top of the mizbeach, even when he lifts it up. And again, keep in mind that although with regard to the dam of a chatas ha'oaf, there was a zrika on chut ha'sikula mata, on the bottom side it's the tachtonim, and therefore the oaf has to be suspended at one point onto the side of the mizbeach for the hazah. Nevertheless, it remains in the Avra Mizbeach because of the Yisod. It's above the Yisod. And the Gemara, therefore, in order to reject this logic, has to introduce the concept of the Magale, which means that the Kohen holds on to the Chatas Ha'of or the Mizrak, which has the Dam of the Behemoth's Chatas in it, and he maintains his contact with the wall of the Mizbeach. And then he does the Zrika. And let's say we're talking about dam that was posel, and it was nevertheless placed on the Mizbeach. in a Kli Shares. And now we can go back to Rav Gamliel, back in the Mishnah on Pei Gimel, who says that the Mizbech is Makadish the Dam. And if that be the case, then Lechora we have a rejection of the proof of the Raya that Avir Mizbech Kimizbech Dami. Now again, in the case of Dam Ha'ola, the Zrika means throwing it onto the Mizbech from a distance, Berichuk. If the Kohen lifts the Kli Shares in order to do the Zrika, that's okay. But when the Gemara answers that we're talking about the Magale, then the Gemara says that that's not called the Zrika. So again, as far as the point in which the Gemara is up to now with these two kashes, we're not going to be able to say that we're talking about a case of Magale where he's matzmid the dam or the oaf itself with the dam or the cleat with the chatas behema to the mizbech itself, and the reason for that is because we're going to have to, and as a result of that, we're going to have to assume that he's holding something in the avir in order to achieve his hazah zrika, and therefore we have a proof. Do we have any sort of proof that Avraham Mizbeach is Kimizbeach? And the answer would be yes. We have now a proof that Avraham Mizbeach is Mizbeach, because that's going to explain why he can do the Hazor and the Zrika Mirochok, and it's not considered that it was Yored Me'al Mizbeach. Om Ravashi, so Ravashi rejects this and he says he cannot prove from here that Avraham Mizbeach is Mizbeach. The E Noket Lu Berosh HaMizbeach Hochinami. If the original suffix was about a person who's holding on to the oaf in his hand, and he's on the Avraham Mizbeach, then Enochinami, you could be poshet the suffix, and you could prove that Avraham Mizbeach is considered like Mizbeach. But in this case, we don't have a suffix at all. In other words, if the Kohen is standing Berosh HaMizbeach on top of the Mizbeach, then the Dam itself would certainly be niskadesh by Mizbeach, even though he's not touching the surface of the Mizbeach, because the Kohen's body himself is standing on the Mizbeach. And therefore, anything that's in his hand is considered, it's considered Berosh Hashem Mizbeach. And that's not part of the suffix. That would be pshita that the carbon is considered in the hand of the mizbech, in the hand of the Kohen, who's standing on the mizbech, and it's considered munach al gabi mizbech. Kika Omar, what was the suffix? The talinu bekanya. It was a case where the Kohen himself is not standing on the mizbech, but rather he's standing on the karka of the azor. He's holding a kana, some sort of a pole and on top of the pole is a stick or a pole, it doesn't matter. And Ochis Biyodo Kona Shebirosho Omeid Birosh Ham Biavi Hamizbeach. So he was told that he suspended the carbon on top of this stick, and the top of the stick is on the Avraham Mizbeach. And now we have a suffix. What's the din of this carbon? Is it considered Omeid B'Avraham Mizbeach Ka Omeid Al Mizbeach Dami? And therefore, we apply the principle of Kevin Sha'ol U'Shuv Lo Yeredu. Or do we say no? That Avraham Mizbeach is not a Mizbeach. And here it's literally suspended in the airspace of the Mizbeach. It's not like the case that the Kohen is standing on the Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach. My, what's the din in this case? And the Gemara's final conclusion is Teku. And this leads us to the Mishnah on Daf Peches Amud Aleph. And this Mishnah is going to clarify the din of Kli Shares Mekadesh, that we said before that a Kli Shares, like the Mizbeach itself, and like the Kevesh, is Mekadesh, whatever's inside of it. What are the restrictions and the conditions that apply in this case? So the Mishnah says the following: Klei halach, these are kelim that are designated to use liquids in, and these are called ka'aros u'mizrakos, different types of bowls that have a receptacle for liquids, and they're used for dam, to receiving the dam, or in the case of the Sochim Yayin, in the case of Mitzora, Shemen, and so forth and so on, is Makachim Esalach. They specifically, these Kalim, have the ability and the power to sanctify that which is Lach, because that's what it's designated for. Umidos Yovesh, then we have other Kalim that are singled out for the purpose of measuring something which is dry. And there are two Kalim in the Beis HaMikdash which fit this bill, and they use for Medidas Dvarim Yoveshim. One is the Kli HaMachzik Isaron, that they use it to measure out an Isaron of Soles for the purpose of Menachos. And the second one is a Kli that has a Chatzi Isaron. They used it to be Modeit Soles for the purpose of Minchas Chavita, which is brought daily by the Kohen Gadol, which is called Mechtzis Isar Baboker Mechtzis Ba'erev. So these are called Kalim that are used specifically for Yovesh, for dried substances, and specifically to measure out the substances. Now it's interesting that the Tana mentions, as far as Lach, Kalim, as far as Yovesh, he calls them Midos. Rashi explains that since there were no Kalim in the Mikdash that were designated specifically for Dvarim Yoveshim, for dry foods, there were just two Kalim for the Isar and the Chatzi Isar that were called Midos, and even the Mincha that was placed into a Kli Lach, like the Mizrakos and the Kaaros. Therefore, he calls the Kli Yovesh Midos, because again, these you know, the Dvarim Yoveshim, in the case of Mincha, were actually put into Mizrakos. The only thing that the Mishnah has in mind here is Midos, meaning those specific Kalim, the two, one for Yisar, one for Chatzisar, that we use to measure the solace for a Mincha. So therefore the Mishnah is very meticulous about calling the Kli Yovesh Midos. With regard to Lach, however, a Kli Lach included a large number of different Kalim that were never used for Medida, they were never used for measuring, and therefore they're called Kalim. So the Mishnah says, Kli Lach Makachos Alach, Midos Yovesh Makachos Es HaYovesh. Ein Kli Lach, the Mishnah continues, Makadosh Es HaYovesh. A Kli that's used for liquids cannot be Makadosh Dover Yovesh. Velo Yovesh Makadosh Es HaLach. And the Kli that's used to measure out a dry substance, a dry solace, cannot be Makadosh liquids. Kli HaKodesh Shenikvu, any Kalim that have holes in them, and the question is whether they still maintain their status as a Kli, because after a while, if it's got holes, it's not functional. Im Osim Beme Melachton, if you could still use them for the original Melacha for which it was designated. For example, when it was Shalem, they used it for a certain purpose, and now, even though it has holes in it, it could still be used. The example given is going to be a Kli that was used for Medidas Hin, and that Kli, when it was Sholem, can be used for that Medida, but now it's Royce for a different kind of Medida, which is called Chatzi Hin, and that's called Me'ein Malachto Rishona. And therefore Mekadshim Esmashe B'tocham. But in Lav, if it cannot be used for anything similar to its original purpose, Ein Mekadshim, it doesn't have the status of a Kli to be Mekadish that which goes into it. V'kulam, however, all Kli Shares, Ein Mekadshim Ela B'kodesh. In other words, you must be located in the Azara, and outside the Azara there's no Kiddush, because a Kli Shares can only be Mekadish in the Azara through the Avodah that you do with it. And since the Avodah has to be done in the Azara, so too the Kli Shares can only be Mekadesh in the Azara. Now in the note here, he quotes the Pirish of the Rash Mishans, who writes that we're talking about a case where even before it had holes in it, they didn't fill it up beyond the place where the hole was, and therefore now it can be used and continue to be used as it was normally done. And that interpretation of the Rashi Shach is a little bit difficult, because the Gemara later on is going to clarify based on a brisa that Kli Kodesh, even if they were niskalkil, if they got ruined, we don't fix them, because Eina Nius B'Mokom Ashirus, they would make new kelim to replace the old kelim. So how could it be that this din is, you know, of the Rashbi Shants, where there were Nekovim, but they used to use the Kli from the get-go up to that point, that he compares that as an analogy to our Mishnah. I mean, the case that the Rashmi Shantz is invoking here is one where it was Royal Melacha Rishona, and therefore it was Mekadesh. Let's start the Sugya. Omer Shmuel Lo Shona, when the Chacham said in the Mishnah that a Kli Lach is not Mekadesh, Yovesh, that's only Ela Midos. That means Kalim that are designated for measuring liquids, that cannot be Mekadesh a Dover Lach, a Dover Yavish, if you place a Dover Yavish into this measuring, this thing that's used for liquid measuring, because it's only used for Medida, and there's no possibility of doing a Medida in this Kli in the Yavish. Amal Mizrakos means basins that are used to receive the Dam, they are not designated for Medida, but rather in order to receive inside them the Dam, a Dover Lach, then Mekadshim, says Shmuel, they could be Mekadish even a Dover Lach that was placed inside of this. And how do I know this? Shmuel Shenema, because the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Zion with regard to the Korban HaNesiim, when they gave an Adava of Karas Kesef and Mizrak Kesef, it says Shneim Maleim Solis. In other words, they placed the Solis into Karos and Mizrakos, which are really kalim that are designated for liquids, but since they're not kalim that are used to measure liquids, therefore they can be Makadish Adavar, Adavar Yavesh, like Solis. So the Gemara asks Akasha, is there really in truth a solid evidence from the case of Karbonas HaNesiim, Amale Rav Achami Difti L'Ravina? How can you prove anything from there that a Kli Lach could be Mekadesh Yavesh? He says, there, when they placed Soles for Mincha the Kelin, Mincha Lachahi, at that moment that they put it into the Karos and the Mizrakos, it was a liquid. Why was it a liquid? Why would Solis be a liquid? The answer is, it was Blua B'Shemen. As the Pasuk says, Shneim Malem Solis Blua B'Shemen L'Mincha. And that's why there was Kiddush in a Kli Lach. This doesn't prove that you could have a Kiddush in a Kli Lach for something that's Yavesh. This is not Yavesh. This is Solis Blua B'Shemen. Amalei, so Ravina responds to Rav Acha, and he says, Lo Nitzrcha, I don't need to bring a raya from Mincha, Ella liyavish sheba. In other words, the part of this Mincha, even if it's Blula B'Shemen, therefore there's still some part of it that's Yavesh. Right? It's impossible that there wouldn't be part of this piece that's Yavesh, and it didn't come in contact with the Shemen, and yet once it's placed in the Mizrak, that Mizrak is Mekadesh, the Mincha Kula, the entire Mincha, even that part of the Mincha that remains Yavesh. Ibois Ema, another version of Ravina's answer to Rav Acha, is Mincha Legavi Dam Ki Yavesh Dami. We apply a relativity kind of theory. In other words, you're right. The Mincha is not completely Yavesh because it's Blula B'Shemen, it's mixed with oil. However, if you compare it to Dam, which is completely Lach, then relative to Dam, this Mincha Blula would be considered Yavesh. And yet we find in the Torah that the Mizrak, which is designated for Kabbalah Saddam, is Mekadesh the Mincha. So we see from this, and that's Shmuel's proof, that any Kli Lach could be Mekadesh and Dover Yavesh Legame, completely. Now the Gemara brings additional dinim that apply to Kiddush of a Kli Shares. Shmuel, Kli Shares, Ein mekadshim ela shlemim. That the kli has to be perfect, has to be complete, without holes in it. And also, ein mekadshim ela meleim. It's only when you put a complete shear in the kli. In other words, how much do you need of that particular thing? Let's say, for example, in the case of a mincha, you need a complete isara. Or in minchas nesachim of par. Or shnei esronim, you need, in the minchas nesachim shel par, you need three esronim. In the case of an aisle, you need two esronim, etc., etc. In all these cases, the kli is only mekadesh if you place into the kli the amount that's absolutely necessary, that's critical for that avoda. The Gemara is going to explain this a little bit later. Then Shmuel adds another principle, ein kli sharis mekadeshim ela mitocham, only that which is inside of it, but not that which has contact from the outside. Again, we're going to see the Gemara's explanation. The Amri lay others say, ein mekadeshim ela shlemim umaleim umibifnim. Now, that seems to be just a reiteration of what we said in the first version. Namely, we have three conditions. Number one, it has to be shlemim as opposed to holes in it. Number two, it has to be the complete shear. Number three, it has to be inside the kli. So the Gemara immediately asks, my bein nayu, what's the difference between these two lashonos, these two versions? Ika bein nayu, the difference is birutzi midos. If you have what's called in Hebrew a mida gedusha, in other words, it overflows. And not only does it fill up the kli, but it goes above the lip and it spills over. According to the first day, the Gemara says, the kli is not mekadesh anything more than what's inside the kli. So in this case of a mida gedusha, where it spills over the sfas hakli, the kli is not mekadesh that which is spilled outside the kli, only that which is in the kli. But in the second version, the kli is mekadesh anything that's inside of it, even that which is ola that goes beyond the sfas hakli. So let's just summarize this beirutzei midos. We're talking about a certain, let's say, relatively slight amount of the measure that goes above the rim of the kli. According to the first Lishna, the kli is only mekadesh that which is inside the airspace of the kli. According to the second Lishna, even that which goes above the rim of the kli is also niskadesh. And this issue is really a machlokes tanoim in Masechet Menachos on Peches of an Aleph. Rashi there, Menachos, tries to say it's not exactly the same issue. The Gemara continues, Masnisa Tanu, we have a brisa in which we learned, Ein Chlisharis Mekadshim Ela, only when they are Shlemim, and not Menukovim, not when there are holes in them. Umaleim, and they have to be complete with the shear that's required. Umitochem, and inside the kli, and not that which goes outside the kli, over the rim of the kli. Umi bifnim, and they're only Mekadesh in the Azorah, not outside the Azorah. The Gemara now clarifies what is the case in the Braisa that the kli is not Mekadesh unless it's Maleim. Omar of Asi, Omar of Yochanan Lo Shanu. When did the Braisa say this principle that the kli can only be Mekadesh if it has the entire shear in it? Ella Kisha Ein Daito Lahosif. If he decided that he's only going to put this amount in the kli, and he doesn't have any intention of being mashal in the shear, aval daito lahosif, but if he intends to add beyond, then rishon kodesh. If his intention is to be mashal in the shear, to add to the amount in the kli, so it would have the kli, then rishon mekadesh. Every time he puts more in the kli, it immediately is mekadesh. Tanya nami hachi. The Gemara now quotes a brisa to support the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, of Rav Asi, the name Rabbi Yochanan. And now we're talking about the Karbonos HaNesiim, where the Torah says, Shneim Maleim Solis is Ein Maleim Ela Shlemin. The pasuk doesn't mean that that there were kelim that were maleim solas up until the rim of the kli el shleimim, but rather the sronim were complete. The esronim were complete in the solas. There was no chisaron in the shir. Amar Rav Yossi, Amosai, when is this din that it's not makadish unless there's a full shir? That's only bizman shein daito lahosif, when he has no intention of adding to the kli. Aval daito lahosif rishon kodesh. Now, how is this brisa a proof? Again, let's see the language of the brisa here. He's saying that when it says in the pasuk Malayim, Shnei Malayim Soles, it means Shleimim. In other words, the Kli contains the full Midah that was required for that particular Mincha. So it doesn't mean that it was filled to the capacity of the Kli. All you need is the Soles of the Isaron, or whatever it means to have a perfect Isaron. And this would imply that all you need is shlemim, but you don't have to fill up the entire kli, which is what Rav Yossi clarifies over here, that if it's daito lahosif, there's still room in the kli, then rishon makadesh. And that supports the original Rav Asi in the name of Rav Yochanan. Now the Mishnah says that a kli lach is not makadesh yovesh. Omar Rav, Vitema Rav Asi, this din of the Mishnah that a kli lach is not makadish yovish is only that ein makadshim li karev avol makadshim li posel. It's not going to be machshir the yovish that's inside of it for hakrov al gabi mizbeach, and again we're talking about a mincha, but rather it is makadish, however, li posel. In other words, from now on the din of this yovish that was inside a kli lach has a din of kodshim, and therefore if it would be taken outside the azara, or for example if it would come in contact with a tummy like a tful yom or mechusa kippurim, it would become posel. So in other words, the Gemara is establishing that there are two dimensions to kiddush b'kli shares. One is kiddush b'kli shares for the purpose of hakrova, and the other is for a basic kiddush such that if it was yotzi chutz l'kloim, it would become posel. Now Tosfos back on Daf Chof Amud Beis claims that a davishin is kadosh b'kli shares is eino nifsal v'yotze. In other words, according to Tosfos, it's only when you did an avoda then it became posel v'yotze. Whereas Rashi here insists that once there was kiddush b'kli shares, it's posel v'yotze. Ika debasli le'aha. Some have this statement in a different context, based on a Tosefta. And the Tosefta, and Ravasi's comment is on this Tosefta. The Tosefta says the following: Ein meviim minochos and esochim uminchas behemo bikurim min ameduma. In other words, you cannot bring. Now let's talk for a moment about the word meduma. Meduma is truma in a tarovis with chulin, which again, for kohanim, that's no problem whatsoever, because in the worst case scenario, they're eating truma. But it's also for Yisrael bachila. And since it's also for Yisrael bachila, we apply a principle, a famous principle in kodshim, derived from Yechezkel Memhei, Mimashki Yisrael, min amuta beficha. Has to be a mutal Yisrael. And mutal Yisrael means it has to be mutal for everyone. So now you want to bring a mincha from meduma, which is something that's also to Yisrael. Or for example, you could have meduma and yayin for nesachim, or you can have nesachim of behema. In all these, minchas behema, in all these cases, you have a problem of min amuta beficha, that it's not min amuta beficha. Again, despite the fact that it's muta to kohanim, but it's not considered mutal Yisrael. So would it be kosher or not? Rashi apparently holds that if it's not mutar li Yisrael, the fact that it's muta to kohanim, that's enough to be mafkia Mashke Yisrael. Tosus disagrees, and Tosus says that we have to reinterpret Medum over here. Basically, that which is Mutal Kohanim is still considered Mimashke Yisrael, it'll be kosher. But rather, Meduma means that there's a mixture of Orla and Klaya Keren. And therefore, the Tosefta means to say that you can't bring these Menachos or these Nesachim from something that has a tarobus of Orla and Klaya Keren, because we cannot bring a Mincha from Orla and Klaya Keren. And this is also Bein Yisrael, Bein Kohanim. In any event, the Tosefta continues, it says, V'ein tzarech lomar mi'orla v'klai akerem, that not only from Meduma, where there's a mixture, but it goes without saying that if it's pure orla and klai akerem, which is also b'achila b'hadnoi, even for Kohanim, then for sure that's the mincha be a mincha psula, you can't bring it on the mizbech v'imhevi lo kidesh. So what does this mean, imhevi lo kidesh? He brought a mincha from Orla, Klai Akerem, lo kidesh, Amarav. Now we get the true interpretation of according to the second version of Rav's comment, Item Ravasi, some say it's Ravasi, that if he brought a mincha and a sachim from Meduma or from Orla and Klai Akerem, lo kidesh li karev, al kidesh li pasel, that even though the kidesh beklisharis would not in any way prepare this or make it suitable for hakrava, you cannot bring it on the mizbeach, but nevertheless it has a din of kachim as a result of the kiddush kli, and it's not yotzi l'chulin, which means that it needs, it requires sreifa. And this is a halach that applies to mincha, to menachos, and to the sachim. We mentioned before minchas behema. With regard to bikurim, then there's no kiddush in a kli shareis at all, even lipasel. And that you'll see in a long discussion in the Chafetz Chaim, based on Rashi, Hedibra Maschel lipasel. And it's not shaykh to say likarev, because in the case of Bikurim, it's not krev mal gabi mizbeach. Now, we're not exactly sure what is the hechatimtza here of Bikurim mina meduma? The mitzvah of Bikurim is to be mafresh Bikurim mina mechubar while it's still growing in the ground. And if it's mechubar, how could it be mixed up with truma? So perhaps we could say that b'dievet, if he was mafresh Bikurim from Tolush, then b'dievet he could be yotze the mitzvah of Bikurim, and in such a case it got mixed up together with truma. Tan Rabbanan, the Gemara now quotes a brisa that explains these dinim with regard to kiddush beklisharis, kli kodesh, kli kodesh chenikvu. If there are holes now in the kli, ein matichin osan. We do not subject them to a fixing process in which we could sort of reheat the kli, put it back into the oven, and close up the holes. That's usually what there was normal practice for kelim shenikvu, if they got a hole in it. But here, ein matichin osan. I'm going to try to figure out why this is so. Ein matichin osan aver, that you're not allowed to pour lead inside the kli to fill up the holes, to be sosem the holes. Ella, but what can you do? You could be matiach osam kulo. You can make virtually a new kli out of it. In other words, you can't put some sort of a hatochas kli on the outside of the nekev in order to be sosim it, or to put aver inside the kli to be sosim the holes, to close up the holes. And the reason for this is the principle of ein anius b'makom ashirus. In other words, to patch up something, that's not the derech eretz for kelim that are used in the Migdash. And therefore, virtually what you have to do is you have to recreate the kli. The Rambam seems to indicate this in the first parak of Klei Migdash when he says, Klei hegdei shenikvu o shenizdiku ein sosmen osam, elam atichen osam fa osam osam chadosh. We make a brand new kli. And this is reminiscent of the halacha of bliya, that if you have bliyas iser in a kli, what you're going to have to do in the case of a kli cheres, because ain't a yotze midei dof, you're going to have to recreate the kli, put it into a kivshan, into a hot furnace. Now the Braisa continues and says that the same din applies to nifgemu, ain misakin osan, even if there was only some sort of a pagam, we don't fix it up. And let's talk about the difference for a moment between the reisha and this case. In the first case, there were punctures, there were holes in the kli. In the second case, there was a nick, which is called a pagam. Let's say, for example, in the case of a sakin, we have a nick, and that passes the sakin for shechita. And this damage removes the possibility of repairing it because of this principle of ein anius b'mokum ashirus. The Braisa continues and says, ein mashchizin espiki mosa. What they used to do is hashchazas sakin. This we know from the sugyan beitza about what you're allowed to do on yontif. It's called machshiri ochol nefesh, to do hashchaza, in which they would take the knife and scrape it onto some sort of hard surface and remove the nicks. And this also is a repair. And Rashi says that even after you do the hashchaza, it's still nikar, it's still noticeable. And this is going to determine whether or not this repair is acceptable in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, whenever you look at a kli that's been repaired, let's say it had a puncture in it, and you melt metal around the puncture to seal it up, to be so simit, as we spoke about before, you add molten lead inside, in all these cases it's considered nikar, and therefore it's not to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason for that is, once it's nikar, then we apply the principle of anius. So ein mashchizin es pgimos, nishmita. Let's say, you know, a sakin is made of two parts. There's the kat, which is the handle, and then there's the blade itself. If the blade slips out of the kat, ein machzir nosa, we shouldn't put it back on. Even this would be a repair that's called anius. Although in this case one could argue that it's not nikar. You know, once you replace it, it's not noticeable. But nevertheless, the Gemara says that nishmita sakin mikitasa is ein machzir nosalim koma. Abashol omer, sakin mitarefes or matrefes haisa b'migdash. And what he says is that it was the derech that they would be pogem with small nicks, and they would be matrif the kodshim that was shechted with this knife. V'nimnu aleha Kohanim u Gnazuha. And the Kohanim gathered together, they took a vote, and they decided to take these sakinim and they would put it into Gniza so that no one would use them. Now it's not clear why Abishol is describing this minhag, this tendency that took place. And the impression you get is that they thought that Begimos were very insignificant, and they could still use the sakin. Maybe they did the ashkaza, and they thought that would be enough to fix it up and repair it. But the final bottom line is that the Kohanim decided that they would not use this, and again, it was a majority decision not to use these sakinim. Now the Gemara wants to clarify, based on a brisa, what the dinim are in Big Day Kahuna. In other words, what are you allowed to do with Big Day Kahuna? Tanu Rabbanan, Big Day Kahuna ain osim osam maisa machat ela maisa oreg. In other words, the way that we create the Big Day Kahuna is not through sewing, but rather through weaving. Shenemar, the Torah says in the parsha, at the end of Shmos, Masei Oreg. And Masei Oreg means that it has to be woven. Ariga means weaving. So this means that the Big Day Kuna would not be made into different sheets and then sewn together to make their shapes, but rather it should be It should be done as a maisa riga, and the entire form, without any seams that would be sewn up, would be, there was no additional sewing, it's weaving of the entire beged as one entity. However, the Gemara in Yuma speaks about the sleeves, and the sleeves were worn separately, and then they were attached to the beged, so that's okay. Then the Braisa continues and says the following: Nisgalu, meaning if they became dirty, and now we need to send them off to the laundromat, Ein mechabsim, we don't clean them, lo b'neser, velo b'ahal, with these two kinds of detergent substances, which are called neser and ohal. He says that these are mine samimonim, some sort of a detergent. Neser is a min adama, it's made somehow from the soil itself, shechafin v'shafin bas habgadim, and somehow with this soil you can clean off the begadim. Ohal, he says, is an asev, it's made of some sort of a green growing grass, and these we don't use in order to clean. That's not called derech ashirus, this was for the cheaper people, you know, the lower finance people. Rather, in such a case that the big day kahuna becomes so dirty, then gonzin osan, we put them into gneza and we make psilos, we make wicks out of them for the menorah. And in the footnote he has a chakira here, why is it that we don't do kibbutz on big day kahuna as a result of the principle of derech anius, if the reason for it is because once there's kibbutz, it's not going to be considered like it's new, and the big day kuna require chadashim, which is something we discussed in the past in the first parak of Zvachim. Or it might mean that even if he could wash them in such a way that they look absolutely brand new, nevertheless it's not derech hashiros to use begadim that were perfected through kibbutz. And he quotes a curious sefer, one of the commentaries on the Rambam in Klei HaMikdash Perek Ches. The Rambam's the way he interprets the Rambam is called Beged Mibigde Kuna Shenasu Tsoim Ein Malabdin Osan Dilachavir Usifaris Meikara Beli Hefsek Beinon. It seems like it's the second pshat, Beli Hefsek, that even if he could make it through this detergent, a look like brand new, but nevertheless he can't call it Beli Hefsek, and therefore Ein Malabdin Osan. The Gemara Sakasha from on this brisa, habamayim mechabsim, are you implying that you could do kibbutz in water? And how is that possible? If the reason why we don't do this is because it's minigat news, why would it be allowed to clean them in water? On the contrary, if they need cleaning, then mayim is not going to really remove all the stains in the big day kahuna. So this kibbutz in mayim is probably worse than the kibbutz of neser or ahal. So Gemara answers on Rabbi Hachi Kamar. This is how we have to interpret the brisa with regard to big day kahuna shehugu b'mayim. If they were only slightly soiled by water, and therefore all they need is water to remove these different stains, is then mechabsin olson, you can do kibbutz with the, even with neser and ohal, these detergents and these samamonim. Why? Because this is not considered meluchloch, it's only hugu b'mayim. And he translates that hugu b'mayim means they were brought to a soilage which all you need is water to clean them off. Then you can use even these detergents, because since the soiling was only limited, it was only to the degree that they can basically be cleaned with mayim, and that's going to, you know, clean them effectively. In such a case, we don't consider it inappropriate or anius to use even neser oil to restore them to their original state of cleanliness. And here we're going to turn to Daf Peches Amid Beis. the Gemara continues and says, with regard to Bigdei Kuna Shehugu Lineser V'Oil, however, if the degree of the lichluch, of the soiling, was such that they cannot be clean with Mayim, they need a real serious hardcore detergent like Neser Oil, is Afa Mayim Mechabsin Osan, then Eino Chinami, even in water, we're not allowed to clean them. That would be Derech Anius. V'yesh Omrim, there's another opinion that maintains that Ein Mechabsin Osan, we don't clean Bigdei Kuna Kol Iker at all. Even if the limit there was a limited amount of lichluch, and we're going to still apply the principle of ein anius b'makom ashirus. So it comes out according to the first Tana here that when the Braisa mentions neser and oil, that's just giving a shir in lichluch. How dirty was it that now we have to dispose and take this out of circulation, these Bigdei Kahuna? Whereas if it only needs a simple nikayon, then you can clean it off. According to the second Tana, however, once you need kibus, then we completely remove these begadim, take them out of use, out of circulation. Now, the Chofetz Chaim says in Likutei Halachos that even according to the Yesh Omrim, we're only talking lechatchila, but the Eved, you could do kibus according to all Tanoim, even the second Tana, even if there was a lichluch biyoser, a serious, profound level of lichluch, and it would need kibus b'neser b'oil. So with the Eved, he says it's all kosher. The Gemara now quotes a braisa with regard to the me'il of the Kohen Gadol. Tana Rabbana me'il. The meal, the Kohen Gadol kulo shel tcheles, it was made totally, completely of tcheles, which was dyed from the dam chilazon, and it had a color that was, again, it's hard to say exactly what the color is, some sort of dark color. And you did not mix anything into this chilazon. It was pure chilazon, unadulterated. Shenemar, and this is based on the pasuk at the end of Shmos with regard to the me'il. It says Vayas es me'il ha'efod kliel tcheles, and the word kliel means kulo, completely made of tcheles. And the me'il ha'efod here in this pasuk is the me'il, the efod was nasan olav kedei lechagro, was placed on top of the me'il in order to tie it down as a belt, serving as a replacement of a belt. Shulav, however, the shulayim of the me'il, ketzad, how is that done? How is that made? And when we talk about the shulayim of the me'il, we're talking about the hems of the me'il, and the Torah says, v'yasis al shulav rimone tcheles, the argoman v'solas shani al shulav saviv u'pamone zav besokam saviv pamon zav rimon al shulei ameil saviv. So we're talking about the hems, and the Braisa discusses how these various parts of the meil, how would they design? And again, you know, they translate the word Pa'amonim as golden bells, and Rimonim as pomegranates. So we're discussing in this price how these pomegranates and golden bells on the hem were designed. Ketzad mevi tcheles v'argomon. You bring threads that are made up of tcheles and argomon. And Rashi says in his Pirush al Torah, tseva tzavua. Tzemer tzavua mimin tseva sheshmo argamon. So we're talking about wool that was dyed with argamon, with a color called argaman. Bisolas shoni. And again, we're talking about tzemer hatzavua b'tseva adom. Now we're talking about wool that was dyed in a red color, and that's called tolas. And the color itself is called shoni. And shizurim Yachtov, and they were Shizurim. Now, we've had the word Shizurim in the past, and it means that they were twisted together. In other words, there were 8 strands of each color. They were twisted together, and they made threads of 24 strands. The Osa Osan Kimin Rimonim Shalopitchu Pihem, like a pomegranate that hasn't yet opened. And he writes here in the footnote that Kol Echad Miminim Elu Haya Osu Michut Hashazu Mishmona Chutim. It's based on the pasuk Vayask Al Shuli Ameil Rimone Tcheles Vargomon Vitolash Shani Moshzar. And the Gemara says in Yuma and Daf Ayin Aleph and Beis that whenever it says Moshzar, that means a chut that is twisted into 8 threads. And once they were Shizurim, then they were twisted of 3 different minim, and therefore the chut was made of 24 altogether. Now the rimonim, when you leave them on the tree, after they finish ripening, they begin to open up on the head of the rimon. And here we're saying that it should be rimonim shelo pitchu es pihem. Okay, before this state in which they would open up their mouths, so to speak, ukimin konoos shalknosos shebaroshi tinokos. They had a certain shape, which apparently in those days they could identify children when they wore certain helmets, if you will, or headgear. So on the top, there was a kind of an object that was cone-shaped. Umevi shivim ushnayim zogim. And he would bring 72 bells. A zog is a bell. And these were brought shebahem shivim ushnayim in bolin. Okay, they contained 72 in Bolim. He says here that Masha Toli Vitocha Pamon Kidei Lashmia Kol. So this is the inside of the bell, which would bang against the bell and make a noise. Vitola Bahen, and he placed these Pamonim on the ends of the Me'il, right next to the Rimonim. So the pomegranates themselves were hollow, but each one contained in it a gold bell with a clapper. The clapper is this in Bogin. And there were 36 on the front and 36 on the back. That's what the Braisa says here. Shloshim v'sheish b'tzad echad u'shloshim v'shisha b'tzad zeh. And that's the Tanakhama here in this Braisa. So they hang on these bells with the clappers within them. In other words, within the pomegranates. These were the clappers within the pomegranates. Rabbi Doso Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Shloshim V'Shisha Hayu. They were all told 36. Shmonesrei Mitzad Zev Shmonesrei Mitzad Zev. Not the way the Tanakhama has 36 on each side, but 18 on each side, totaling 36. That's the Shita of Rabbi Dosa in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Now, in the footnote here, he has machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban exactly how the Me'il of the Kohen Gadol was manufactured. Rashi in Shmos, Perek Chof Ches, says the Me'il was like a chaluk, otherwise known as a maisa ketones. The ketones was attached directly to the bossa, to the flesh of the Kohen. The Me'il was the top coat on top of it. So the Me'il was closed on all sides, and on its top there was a certain hole in which they would put the head could go into that hole. The Ramban, on the other hand, in the same spot, he says that the Me'il is not made like a chaluk at all, like a chaluk, but rather it's made like a talis katan, as we have it, and there was a kanaf echad milafanov, the echad meachorov, and they were attached on top, and that's how the beis hatzav, or the hole for the head, was made. And the Ramban wants to invoke our sugya as a proof to support his opinion, because if they put 36 on this side and 36 on the other, it would seem that there was a me'il on both sides. According to Rashi, if the me'il was made as one solid chalot, just that they made a hole on for the head, then what does it mean that there's 36 on this side and 36 on the other side? However, if you take a look here in Rashi, Rashi says, Dibra Maskel Mitzad, he says, Milfanov Umilachorov. That in other words, even though the meal itself was not divided into two parts, nevertheless what the Brisa means is that they would hang the 36 on a palmonim on the chalok of the meal that was in front of the coin, and another 36 on the chalok that was behind him. Omar Rabbi Einini Bar Soson, Kemachlokis Kan, Kach Machlokis Bemaros Negoim. Just like we find the Machlokis Tanoim with regard to the numbers of Pa'amonim and Rimonim on the Shulei Ame'il, so too we find a parallel Machlokis with regard to Negoim, which are Metame, and the same Machlokis is going to apply this Nan based on a Mishnah in Negoim in the first Perek. Now, before we see this Mishnah, let's just point out that the numbers of Pa'amonim on the Me'il parallel, according to Rav Einini, the numbers of the Maros Negoim, because the Me'il is Machaper on the sin of Lashon Hara, and Negoim also, likewise, are Machaper on Lashon Hara. This is all clarified in the Sugya of Lashon Hara in Erech and Daf Tes Zayin. And the reason why the Gemara brings later on for this Rav Admini, that which were the sins that the Bigdei Kohuna would be Mechaper on, it says that the Meal is Mechaper Lashon Hara, that's all going to be quoted here in our sugya in order to explain why we should make an interdependence, so to speak, between the Meal and the Maros Negoim. So let's take a look at this Mishnah in the first parak of Negoim that's quoted here now as Sugya. The number of Maros Negoim that are Metame Rabbi Dosa ben Harkinos Omer Shloshim Vishisha. They were 36. And that's Lishitoso, 18 times 2, as we saw in the case of the Me'il, the Pamonim and the Rimonim on the Me'il. Akavi ben Mahalal Omer Shivim Ushnan, you have to multiply that by 2, because the mispar, the number of Pa'amonim in the Me'il of the Kohen Gadol, would be 36 in front and 36 in the back, which gives you a total of 72. Now, there's what's called the Nega Lavan, and there's another Nega called Adamdem, and this number of Negoim includes even a mixture of Nega Lavan with Nega Adamdem. There's also Nigei Arosh and Nigei Azokah. There's Nigei Batim and Nigei Gadim. If we add them all together, we can arrive at either the number 36 or the number 72. Now Rabbi Dosa, who argued in the previous Brisa with regard to the number of Pa'amonim in the Me'il of the Kohen Gadol, is this Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus. And the Keren Ora is a little bit bothered by that. He says that you should really be Gores in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Dosa, because Rabbi Dosa ben Hyrcanus was much earlier than Rabbi Yehuda. So it's impossible that Rabbi Yehuda is quoting him. So these are the total numbers of Negoim, Mar Lishitosu. The Omer Rabbi Einini Bar Soson Loma Nismecha Parshas HaKarbonos LaParshas Bigdei Kohuna Loma Lecha Ma Karbonos Mechaprim Af Bigdei Kohuna Mechaprim. The Torah has a contiguity between the Parsha, the Karbonos, and the parasha Bigdei Kohuna. This is in Parashas Tzav, Vayikra, in chapters 6, 7, and 8. There the Torah begins to count, to present the laws of the Karbonos, of the Ola, the Chatos, the Osham, and the Shlomim. And then Besmichus, it mentions the Shivas Yimei Miluim, in which Moshe took the Bigdei Kohuna and he placed them on Aaron and the children, the sons of Aaron. And just like the Karbonos HaMechaper, so too Bigdei Kohuna HaMechaper. And now the Gemara wants to know which of the Bigdei Kohuna are Mechaper and which of the sins. Ksones Mechaper Sal Shvichus Dam Shenemar, because it says with regard to Mechiris Yosef, it says Vayishchetu Seir Izen Vayitbulu Es Hakutones Vadam. And let's just read the translation of this pasuk. It says that they slaughtered a goatling and dipped the tunic in blood. Okay, this is all in Bereishis Perek Lamed Zayin. And this is a reference to what the brothers did in order to give evidence to Yaakov Avinu that he was devoured by an animal. And the word Vayitbalu, which can also be translated as "and they immersed," which is a purification process, and the verse is therefore remez that in the future the Kohanim would wear a kutones, a tunic as it's translated into English, and that would be mechaper for the sin of shpichas domin. Michnasayim mechaprim al gilui arayos, and the slacks that they wore would be a kapara for gilui arayos. And the reason for this is because the pasuk in Shmos Chav Ches says the following: Vaselahem michnasei bad lechasos es besar ha'erva. Now, literally, this means that it would cover up their nakedness, but the Gemara takes it in a more symbolic meaning, that these trousers would be an atone for the sin of the basar, which is the sin of Gili Arayos. So we now have a kapara for Shvichas Domim and a kapara for Gili Arayos. Mitznefes mechaperes al gasei haruach. The turban would be a kapara for conceit. Minayin, how do we know this? Omer Rabbi Chanina, Yovo Dover Shebegova, the Echaper Al Gova. Something that's worn on high up on the head should be a kapara for gaiva, for haughtiness. So when you wear a head covering, that's meant to engender a sense of Yerushalayim. And haughtiness is something that means I don't have that Yerushalayim, that awe of God, right? Because I'm haughty, I'm a big shot, I'm autonomous. And it stands now to logical that the Kohen, when he put on the turban, that would be an atonement for haughtiness. Then we're going to go on to discuss the Avnet and its Kapara, the Choshen and its Kapara, and Emir Tz Hashem, we'll pick that up tomorrow.